Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see so many people gathered out this evening as we gather together to for this interesting study on St. Patrick. And even though we're here in Tasmania, I myself do come from Northern Ireland, so it's very relevant for me tonight to come to speak. It's good to see other people actually arriving while we're speaking. I'll ask you all to move up a little bit closer to make room for everyone. Now, tomorrow is a very interesting day because, incidentally, it is the 17th of March, and the 17th of March is actually known as St. Patrick's Day. And right across the world, people will be celebrating in their thousands, hundreds of thousands, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Now, you might think of St. Patrick tonight as a patron saint of Ireland. He's a man who drove it's believed, all the snakes out of Ireland, and it's a place where the world is covered with shamrocks and leprechauns. Cities like New York and Boston will have large parades in their thousands, and even the city of Chicago will even dye its river green. But tonight I want to speak to you about St. Patrick from a different perspective, from a biblical perspective, and I believe this is true history. So if you have a few moments to listen, I would really appreciate that. But tonight we might learn something about real history. No matter where you are on St. Paddy's Day, you will see the colour green worn more than any other day of the year. The wearing of green, of course, is the national colour of Ireland, and it has become a way for people everywhere in the world to connect with this country. But while this holiday is named after St. Patrick, there is far more myth than fact known about the so-called patron saint of Ireland. You might ask, what about the snakes? Well, Patrick was around in the 4th century, over 1600 years ago, and it is believed that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. I've lived there in Ireland for most of my life, and I've never seen a snake. I don't know if they've ever been there, or who ever took them out, but I know one thing. Whenever I read my Bible in the book of Genesis, the old devil came on the scene in the disguise of a snake. And from his very words, he persuaded Eve and Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit. And as a result of that serpent, sin came into this world. So whenever we learn tonight about Patrick being a Christian, being a preacher, being a missionary, being used of God, in fact, he did help to drive sin out of Ireland. Now, apart from being a free day on the 17th of March, St. Patrick is believed to be remembered for many, many different reasons. And there are two genuine writings of St. Patrick in existence today. These writings have become public only during the last century. One is a confession, an autobiography of St. Patrick near the end of his life. And another is a letter to Caroticus, containing a fierce complaint against Caroticus, who had raided a number of Patrick's converts. In these, we are able to meet the real St. Patrick, and what a striking difference there is. You might ask the question, well, was Patrick Irish? Well, incidentally, he is known as the Apostle of Ireland, but he was born at the end of the 4th century, probably somewhere along the west coast of Britain, believed to be even in Scotland. St. Patrick, by way of introduction, grew up in a Christian family. His father was a deacon, and his grandfather a priest. Now I want to quote these words later said by Patrick. He said, I am Patrick, a sinner, most unlearned, the least of all the faithful, and utterly despised by many. I was like a stone, lying in the deep mire, and he that is mighty came, and in his mercy lifted me up. I'm going to tonight briefly share with you the testimony of one of the greatest men who ever lived since Bible times. Now, Patrick also writes, I was taken about 16 years of age as a slave. I did not know the true God. I was taken into captivity to Ireland with many thousands of people. I did not believe the living God, nor did I so from my childhood, but lived in death and unbelief. At the age of 16, Patrick was kidnapped by pirates, sold as a slave to a chieftain in Ireland. Here in Ireland, he was sold as a slave to tend sheep and feed pigs. It was at this time that Patrick started to think about God again. He believed his sufferings were a punishment for his careless life. His next step was repentance, and he turned to God with all his heart, a little bit like the prodigal son. While herding pigs and looking after sheep, he had much time to ponder the many Bible verses his Christian father taught him. What a lesson that is for young people. Maybe young man or young woman you're listening today, and maybe in your life as you reflect back to your childhood days, your mother and father taught you the scriptures, taught you to say your prayers, taught you to talk to God. Maybe you've run away from home, maybe you've run away from God. I want you to learn from Patrick tonight. Whenever he thought of his childhood, learning these Bible verses that led him to trust Christ as a Savior. In his confessions he wrote, "At the age of 16, in a strange land the Lord opened my unbelieving eyes, and I was converted." He went on to say in his own words, "And there the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief, that I might at last remember my sins, and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my objection, and mercy on my youth and ignorance, and watched over me before I knew him, and before I was able to distinguish between good and evil. He guarded me, comforted me, as with a father's son." Patrick spent 6 years of slavery. He was known then as Holy Boy, because he was always praying. He was always talking about the Savior. In Romans chapter 8 verse 28 it says, "All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Patrick alluded to this verse in his confessions whenever he wrote, "Whatever happens to me, whether pleasant or distasteful, I accept, giving thanks to God who never disappoints." I wonder, can you accept situations, circumstances in your life? Can you honestly say, "All things have, all things will work together for good"? After 6 years, Patrick was able to escape from his slavery, able to escape and return home again. But after some years, he felt called to return to Ireland and preach the message of salvation by faith. The same way the Lord irresistibly called him. The Lord irresistibly called him, first of all for salvation, and the second time for service. In his own words, Patrick said, "I must not, however, hide God's gift which he bestowed upon me in the land of my captivity. The gift so great, so salutary, to know God and to love him. Because then I earnestly sought him, and there I found him, and he saved me from all evil, because, so I believe, of the Spirit that dwells in me." Now possibly, Patrick now at the age of 40 or even older, he returned to Ireland on a mission. Facing many hardships, daily he said, "I expect murder, fraud or captivity, or whatever it may be, for the sake of the gospel and his promises, so that a great multitude and throng might be caught for God. For I am much God's debtor, who gave me such great grace that many people were reborn in God through me." What a challenge that has been for me. Whenever Patrick was able to pray that many people might be reborn in God through me, maybe you're listening today. Maybe you're a preacher of God's word. Maybe you're a Christian. Have you ever prayed, "Lord, lead me in the way that people might be reborn in God through me, through my words, through my actions, through my life"? This work of faith and labour of love made Ireland afterwards as the Isle of the Saints. The labour of Patrick and his associates were not confined to Ireland only, but were largely the cause of the truth of Christianity reaching other lands. Many people across the world today will say and believe that their ancestors are from Ireland. Many people can also trace their Christian heritage, their Christian roots, right back to that land. Now, St. Patrick also knew the sacred scriptures. Actually, the Bible is the only book he quoted from. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, it seems to have been his favourite, because he quoted from it at least 30 times in his writings. St. Patrick experienced what St. Paul states in the letter to the Romans: "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And maybe you're sitting here this evening And as you listen, and I quote those words, all have sinned, do you realize that that means you, and come short of the glory of God? Every one of us here in this meeting tonight are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, separated from God. It goes on to say the wages of sin is death. Do you realize with the very sin you're living in, you one day will receive wages for those sins? And the wages, the paycheck handed out to you, is death, forever in that awful place called hell. Patrick writes, I lived in death and unbelief. But there's good news, because the good news and the hope that St. Patrick clung to is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth as a man, died on the cross in order to pay the wages of our sin. You know, the Bible also says, the remainder of that verse, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, that's your only hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He bridged that gap between hell and heaven, between earth and heaven, between us and God. Jesus is the only way. Now, St. Patrick, absolutely sure of his own unworthiness, moreover, he was completely convinced and sure of God's forgiveness in Christ. He was a man with only one devotion, Christ Jesus. He doesn't make any mention of the rosary. He doesn't invoke Mary. He doesn't speak about purgatory. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got Roman Catholic friends, completely convinced that the church is the only way. Well, there are no traces either of these things or of supernatural miracles or snakes in Patrick's writings. His creed was simply, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, and Christ in me. The fact that Patrick is a saint is no myth. Although he has never been canonized by the Roman Catholic Church, although every year they will claim him as one of their own. But is that how a person becomes a saint? According to the Bible, and this we must always refer to, sainthood is not attained by what others think of us, but rather by who we own as our Saviour. Now, at least six times in the New Testament epistles, we are addressed directly to the saints. The authors were not writing to dead people, but rather to all those who believe this. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe you're here tonight. Yes, you are a good person. You're good to your neighbour, good to your family. You're good in every possible way. But my friend, without Christ, the Bible says your good works in God's eyes are as filthy rags. Man looketh on outward appearance, and we see all those smiling faces, all those good things. But God looks in your heart. The darkness of that sinful heart is still there and needs to be washed. Not with water, but with the precious shed blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Patrick did not become a saint because of his good deeds in Ireland, but because of what he came to believe while still a slave boy in that country. After his salvation, he was called by God to return to Ireland to dwell in the midst of barbarians. Why? For the love of God. He went not to attain salvation, but because he was already saved, he wanted to share his faith out of love for his Saviour. I wonder today, if St. Patrick were alive today, do you know what he would tell you? He would tell you to pay less attention to all the folk tales and all the nonsense, and rather listen and learn more about the truth about him. Simply that the Bible led a 16-year-old slave boy to the Saviour, who then became a missionary to share his Saviour with the people of Ireland. He would also tell you to stop trying to save yourself through your own efforts, and instead trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, the one who died for your sins, shedding his precious blood to wash away your sin. In closing, my friend, I ask you the question, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? Has the Saviour of St. Patrick won your heart? Have you ever been converted to God? Have you, like him, had your unbelieving eyes opened? Remember the words of Scripture in Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Lovely verse in Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever has the greatest possible scope. Doesn't matter you're young or old or rich or poor, shall call the simple possible cry. A little child, an old man or an old woman, the way they speak is the way they talk with God, shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name above every name, the Lord of lords and King of kings, shall be saved. Oh, I pray tonight that God will give us men and women, Patricks and Patrices, like this today, saved and sold out for the service of God, reaching the dying multitudes for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, are you saved tonight? Have you ever realized your need of a Savior? I trust you will tonight. If you leave until tomorrow, it might just be too late, because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow, millions of people will be thinking about Ireland, thinking about St. Patrick. But I want you to think about St. Patrick's God and St. Patrick's Saviour, and put your faith and trust in him. May the Lord help you to do that. In his name we pray. Amen.